You're listening to The Point, and we are talking with New Bedford Mayor John Mitchell, 866-999-4626. If you have a question or a comment for the mayor, 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. All right, drugs and crime are an issue everywhere, so I'm not singling out New Bedford here. But how is New Bedford continuing to address this issue? And, I mean, as we said, you know, the opiate problem here on the Cape of and Islands is, I'm sure, just as bad as it is in New Bedford.
Right. So I think we're faring pretty well under the circumstances. So just I can, you know, it's hard sometimes to quantify drug use in any place because you don't know for sure. I mean, other than through, you know, surveys of folks who are unlikely to fill out surveys. But with respect to crime, you know, it's been on the way down in New Bedford. We've been very aggressive in tamping down on gun violence. So my first 2 years in office, we had 3 homicides by gunshot. That is extraordinarily low for a city of our size and demographic composition. We, just by way of comparison, that is a rate of a homicide by gunshot that it's probably about a third of what it is in Boston. Mm-hmm. So just for perspective. So we, look, anybody getting shot is one too many, and we have to continue to be aggressive. We have a very well-managed police department. Chief David Preventure is a real professional, real thoughtful guy who is very data-driven and has been able to manage our some 270 police officers very well. Because of my career in federal law enforcement, I've been able to keep our partners in federal law enforcement involved in New Bedford, and I think that has helped us to deal with some of the larger players in the community. There's been some gang activity in New Bedford, not nearly as much as one might expect, but even a little bit's too much. So we've been able to to deal with that through a good partnership with the FBI and some of the other federal law enforcement agencies and with the U.S. Attorney's Office. Mm.
Downtown New Bedford continues to struggle. New restaurants and retail establishments come and go. What are your ideas to attract and keep business to downtown? I know you've got a new urban park, right?
We have a new urban park. We actually haven't been struggling. In the last 6 years, there have been 50 new businesses that have opened in downtown New Bedford.
And none closed? Or few?
A few closed, but not, yeah. but not 50. Mm-hmm. I wish I had the number off the top of my head, but mm-hmm. far more businesses now than there were 5 years ago. And so it's actually growing a lot, and the mm-hmm. tourism has been up. The Whaler Museum had an 8% increase in tourism last year. We have a potential second hotel on the way. Our hotel that was built 5 years ago has an 87% occupancy rate, so it's mm-hmm. doing extraordinarily well. So basically it's full all the time. We have many new restaurants and shops that have opened in recent years, as I mentioned, and more are in the pipeline. We're working right now on bringing more liquor licenses into the downtown because we've run out. There have been that many wow. restaurants, so that will require an act of the state legislature. So quite the contrary. It is growing, and this year we'll see likely see, in addition to the new hotel, some more residential housing in the downtown. Again, we're working on expanding the educational footprint of Bristol Community College and UMass Dartmouth. There's a lot to see. We have a brand new urban park that was designed.
Tell us about the urban park.
So in the middle of downtown New Bedford, we have a custom house that is the oldest operating custom house in the United States. It was built during the Jackson administration and continues to operate today. Right next to it is a monument to the Massachusetts 54th Infantry Regiment. Where there's a recruiting station there that from many of the soldiers in that unit were signed up there in the Civil War. But next to both of those places, there's a large parking lot, just an empty expanse. And so I thought it was important to establish some central green space in the downtown where folks in offices and shops could come out in the summertime, much like Post Office Square in Boston or Bryant Park in New York. That's the thought. So it was important to me, very important to me, that it be designed extremely well and executed very, very well. And we have very high design standards in New Bedford. I think it's so important that in order to make a city livable, that we have, that we really take care of the built environment. So I turned to a person named Chris Reed, who is originally from New Bedford and heads one of the country's premier urban landscape design firms called Stoss Urban Design in Boston. He designed the landscaping around the Clinton Library and a number of the newer buildings at Harvard. And I asked him to do this project, and he said, "Yeah, for my hometown, sure." And then I asked the next question, which was, "Would you do it for free?" To his credit, he didn't hesitate. He said yes. And so we have this, you know, we have a world-class designer from New Bedford who came back and did this great park, and it looks fantastic. And so we had, in a matter of months, an asphalt parking lot that was turned into a place where literally within a month after it opened up, there were folks were coming for wedding photos. It's that nice. Mm. So, and we believe that that's going to spur additional investment. We're already seeing it. So so things are on the upswing.
Now let's talk about the waterfront. It's long been separated from the downtown area, yes, by Route 18. And aside from the fishing fleet, there hasn't been much in the waterfront to visitors. I think there is a restaurant that's right there to the.
There is. Yeah.
But what are your plans to make the waterfront more accessible and to draw more residents and visitors?
So the waterfront has been cut off from the downtown for decades, literally, much in the same way, for folks who are familiar with Boston, that with the central artery in Boston that cut off the waterfront there. Again, you know, New Bedford and some other places that saw, you know, urban renewal come through the center of town, we've been cut off from our waterfront. That has changed in the last couple of years with the reconstruction of the roadway itself with Route 18. So it's more of a boulevard now. Mm-hmm. It's far more crossable. And we put its crossability to the test last summer. We moved all the festivals that were in the downtown, or most of them, down to the waterfront, and we wondered whether people would actually cross the road. It turns out that they have. We put on a concert series right next to the ferry terminal, to the Vineyard Ferry Terminal, and seven concerts, and it was pretty simple. It was mostly a guy with a guitar and a bar next to it. And, you know, all of a sudden, we figured we'd have about 50 people or so showing up. We had the last two or three concerts saw 700 people show up. So there was pent-up demand, and it's clear that people are now connecting with the waterfront. So we're building on that. So we have there will be a brand-new restaurant on our waterfront coming up in about 3 or 4 months, another seafood restaurant. That should be very good. We have the established one, the Waterfront Grill, that you that you're probably
thank you. I couldn't remember the name of it. Thank you.
Right, and there's more to come. So we've had design firm Sasaki come in and take a look at our central waterfront, so that we can accommodate many uses. We still do a lot of freight on our state pier, which is in the middle of our waterfront, and bring in. In the wintertime, lots of fruit from Morocco. So we have a number of freighters that come through. But we want to continue those uses, but we also want to have more public accommodation. We do want to be a place that where people can go and connect with the water, have a drink by the water, have to dine by the water. And I think that'll do something for our brand. People can say, well, let's go out for a drink by the water in New Bedford.
Everybody likes to sit by the water.
Everybody likes to sit by the water. So that's the idea.
Yeah, exactly. And I've crossed the street there, so you're right. It is crossable. I did it without any
trouble.
Very
much so, yeah. Yes. And,
I'm still here to talk about it. Yeah. Right. Ralph is giving us a call from South Dartmouth. Hi, Ralph.
Hi, Mindy. Well, it's good to hear you're doing a program on New Bedford, UCII. Maybe I should say it's about time, but it's good. Now that your power has been increased, especially over to this area.
Yeah.
Mayor Mitchell, I have a question for you. What is the city doing? Good to hear your voice. What is the city doing actively to improve its image in the area, especially for suburbanites, to attract them to the city?
Well, good question. So some of it's some of the things that we talked about before. So it all starts with public safety, and we've had, you continue to see decreases in crime in the city. A lot of it is just about making it look nicer. And again, some of it, Ralph, you're probably familiar with Custom House Square and the work we did there. And but, you know, some of it's continuing to put more cobblestones down and to more bricks and more natural materials in the downtown area to build up the look of the national park that we have in the middle of our downtown. It's, some of it is just, you know, the little stuff, more tree plantings. We are about to embark on the largest tree planting in the city's history. We are replacing large Cobra, so-called Cobra street lights with more pedestrian-level lighting, more bike racks, more bikeable places in the city, and we're just cleaning it up. Mm-hmm. We've had a big anti-graffiti initiative. It's becoming very much harder to find any graffiti in New Bedford now because we're acting on it so quickly, and that counts for a lot. And graffiti tends to scare off folks.
Yeah, that's and just you the should mention the arts. I mean, the arts are also a draw.
Right. So the arts are a big draw as well. So New Bedford has, according to the Atlantic Monthly, New Bedford has the seventh highest number of artists, percentage of artists in its of any city in the United States. We have a very deep arts culture, and I say deep, deeply rooted in the city that has gone back, that goes back all the way to the whaling days when many of the whaling merchants patronized some artists of national renown, people like Albert Bierstadt and Alan Pinkham Ryder, William Bradford, and others. That continues today with the College of Visual Performing Arts that is right in the middle of our downtown. That's a graduate school of the University of Massachusetts Dartmouth. You know, we have a vibrant arts culture. It comes alive on the first Thursday of the month and all year long, but especially in the summertime with our AHA festivals. Mm-hmm. We believe that arts does make a difference. I mean, many folks have read the works of Richard Florida about how, you know, the creative class can generate economic activity. We see that in New Bedford. You know, as much of America is becoming more homogenized with highway off ramps that lead to the same looking townhouses or strip malls, New Bedford has maintained its authenticity. It's all very real. The artists are very real. They do it for the love of the craft, for the love of for their passion. It's all right there. And now we're putting together all those pieces. And just to go to Ralph's point, beautification is a big part of that. And that's folks are now saying, wow, the downtown has never looked better.
Yeah. Ralph, thanks for the call. And just to clarify, this isn't the first show we've done in New Bedford, but I will agree with you. It's been a while. But thank you, Ralph, for noticing. So we mentioned before, New Bedford has been the number one fishing port in the country for over a decade in terms of commercial value. But as we know, the commercial fishing industry all over New England is struggling. So as the industry as a whole struggles, what do you see in the future for New Bedford?
Well, so the entire industry is struggling. Actually, not the entire. The groundfish industry, right, is struggling, to be clear. And groundfish, I think most people know, groundfish are the fish you usually associate with New England fishermen. It's, you know, cod and haddock and flounder. In New Bedford, we benefit from the fact that we are the global center of the scallop fishery. So scallops are New Bedford's cash crop. We bring more in than any other port on the planet. Most of what we bring in terms of dollar value is our scallops. Scallops are what's different about scallops is that they are readily sustainable. They are they don't go far. They sort of sit in one place. They can be measured readily. Problems with developing regulations for the fishery is measuring fish stocks accurately, but with shellfish, because they don't move, they can be readily sampled, and so we have a sense of how many scallops are out there. They also are pretty prolific. They reproduce pretty
thank
readily.
Goodness.
Thank goodness for that. So, you know, the love life of the scallop is an interesting one. So that means that we've got this base, and what it's the way it's playing out in the Northeast is that even though the fishing industry is in some ports drying up, including in some, you know, well-renowned historic fishing ports, that it, and it's very sad to see that happen. A lot of it's consolidating in New Bedford. We have boats now that are landing their catches from as far south as North Carolina to as far north as Maine. We have processors in the last few years who have consolidated their operations in New Bedford, have moved out of other places like Gloucester and parts of Rhode Island, have come to New Bedford because that's where the action is. So New Bedford now, as a percentage of market share, has about 34% of the fish in New England and about 8% nationally, and that's only growing. Mm. And so what it means is that, you know, it's sort of in a curious way. There's a passage in Moby Dick about how New Bedford had slowly monopolized the whaling industry after Nantucket and a number of other ports had sort of fallen off. And it's curious now that a similar thing is happening for other reasons in the fishing industry as well. So, you know, what we're trying to do is make it sustainable in the long run. We're going to be working on branding our what we catch so that people recognize the quality in New Bedford fish. And to support the industry, because it still accounts for over $1 billion worth of economic activity in Greater New Bedford, and altogether employs over 4,000 people. So it's a major export industry for us, and one that I think we'll be able to sustain in the long run.
We've got just about a minute, but I hate to give you just a minute, but there's room for expansion in the New Bedford Business Park. What do you think are the best businesses for New Bedford, and how might you entice them to come?
Well, So New Bedford has a highly skilled workforce, a very reliable workforce. Most of the major manufacturers will tell you. And so, what we have in New Bedford is we have available land. We have a workforce that is extraordinarily reliable. We have good infrastructure. We have proximity to, you know, major metropolitan areas like Boston and New York, and Providence. And a very supportive political environment, and those are the things that that we have in place. And it's a good place to grow. We about 20% of our workforce is in manufacturing, so we are still, even though Massachusetts isn't quite the manufacturing center it once was, New Bedford still is. And so it's what we do. Our biggest manufacturer is the Acushnet Company, the maker of Titleist golf balls, and they're doing very well. You know, we're open for business.
All right. So just as you kick off your second term, wish you luck, and hopefully we'll check in with you from time to time.
Great.
To see how it's going.
Well, thanks for having
thanks.
Me, Mindy.
Mayor John Mitchell of New Bedford. I'm Mindy Todd. Thank you for listening.
Amy Vins produces The Point with assistance from Jenny Junker. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of the Cape and Islands NPR stations, a service of WGBH.